Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Lovecast the BL podcast. I'm your host Heather, and with me today is the whole Lovecast team. We've got Kayla, Pixie, and Alexa.
Hey!
So, as you can see, we are back to our regularly scheduled programming. We are sitting down and recording an episode. Oh my god, for the first time properly since July?
Post-Thailand.
Yeah. Post-Thailand. Mm. That's a couple months.
Many months ago.
Yeah. So we may be a little rusty. Bear with us. So, I guess today on the show we are covering quite a few topics, but they've all got one big theme, which is like what's been going on in the BL community while we've been so focused on editing and getting everything out. We have kind of, I don't know if we've been fully following. I know I myself haven't been fully following what's been going on. Mm-hmm. I've only seen little bits and pieces. Yeah. So we thought today we might kind of, I guess, educate each other. Fill each other in and let everyone know if you've also been not following everything going on in the community as closely as some people do.
Yeah, I will say this, like most of the stuff that I keep like updated on is because in our Discord server, we have a Tea channel in our Patreon exclusive channels on Discord, hint hint. And the news that get posted there is usually the ones that I actually catch up to, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. Discord is usually the only reason I know what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm very similar too. There's only been like one or two things that have popped up on my radar for me, which there's one that I'll cover today that I just like, oh, made me so mad.
Oh boy.
So I may get heated and I may start speaking at a volume, so you need to tell me to slow down and quieten down because my chest will go red. Like I it made me so mad.
We'll look for the signs.
Yeah. But yeah. Do we want to do a really quick like whip around on what we're going to be covering today? Kayla.
Yeah.
In the top left.
Okay. So I feel like I went more of the direct news route. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about how First and Kowtung are going to be the first GMMTV couple to have a fan meet outside of Asia in Brazil. And then today it was announced that there's going to be a book release for OnlyFriends and there's going to be a book signing. And then I threw this in last minute, literally right before I sat down. But I am also going to plug Z's new clothing line that he opened.
Of course.
Nice. Love it. Nice. Pixie. Oh, Alexa.
I was just going to say, because Kayla mentioned First in Kowtung, I was going to talk about the Z and the New fan meet because it's the first one that's happening
that fits in
America.
Mm-hmm.
That is hopefully going to happen successfully, fingers crossed. So I was going to plug that. And then kind of a little bit of, like, I guess, series-ish news. I wanted to talk about Red Peafowl because there was a lot of hype for it, and I feel like there's a lot to discuss around the bajillion people that they've announced in that cast so far, so I wanted to chat about that. Mm-hmm. Those are my things I had.
Nice. Pixie.
Okay, so I have one thing, and it's always something that annoys me or gets me a little bit fired up. But it's a new news about an old topic. So there's a thing going around on social media because someone put, like, there's a podcast out there that put, like, out a video on TikTok where they scream cast gay people for gay roles and do it very aggressively. And yeah, so I kind of want to talk about that.
Okay. I was gonna say that's a big change from the news.
BL.
Fine, it balances out.
Yeah, it does. It does. My topic, well, topics, but my big topic today is I'm sure everyone would have seen me tweeting about this as well because. Holy crap, I was so angry. Is the what happened with Neo and his his cover that he posted, and then the disgusting bullying that happened, the racism that just, well, I wouldn't say came out of nowhere, but just like fucking whacked him over the head and yeah, so I want to talk about that. And then my other little thing, if we've got time, is I want to chat about what's going on with Mech on Twitter and him. So the photo of Lisa that then was reposted by someone from Japan with a little comment that then Google Translate translated incorrectly because it couldn't
it was slang, so
deal with slang, and then the slang. Response that happened, and then Mech jumping on and defending and then literally ending up in a fight with someone on Twitter. So if we've got time,
I'll see that. Yeah. I saw the post.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Where do we want to start? Maybe top left, Kayla?
Okay, sure.
Let's start with, like, fun and fluffy. And
okay. Let's weave.
We'll weave.
Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, maybe we'll go, like, fluffy, worse, back to fluffy.
I'm sorry. Sandwich. Someone's knocking on my door.
That's going to be, whiplash, because you're going to go to, whiplash from it.
I feel like we'll figure it out as we go, but I feel like we should end on something that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So we all love First in Kowtung here, which is why I was like, I need to talk about this because it's also just really cool. So First and Kowtung are going to be the first GMMTV pairing to hold a fan meet outside of Asia. Mm-hmm. And whenever I saw people tweeting about that, I was like, there is no way that one of the OGs haven't done like a fan meet outside of Asia. But it's true. Like, First and Kowtung are going to be the first ones to literally fly to Brazil and do this fan meet. So, yeah, on December 3rd. They're going to be in Sao Paulo, Brazil for a fan meet. And I looked up the venue. It seems very small. It doesn't look like a big venue, which is quite interesting, but it's at this place called VIP Station. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to mention this news because I feel like it marks the beginning of like more BL pairings possibly doing fan meets outside of Asia, like Z and Nanu in LA this month, actually. And I just, I wanted to bring that up. And I also wanted to bring up that I just think it's interesting how First and Kowtung have more international fans than they do Thai fans. Like, their reception globally is really crazy. And I don't really know why the reason for that is. I don't know. But I also, like, had the question of, now that BL pairings might be doing fan meets outside of Asia, are they going to, like, ever bring the cast of a show to, like, LA or something? Like, are they ever going to do those kind of things where they almost hold, like, a concert? Kind of like, you know how they do that, like Step by Step is having their thing, Kin Porsche, like the show fan meets.
Yeah,
so just a lot of jumping off points, I felt like, from that piece of news. And it's just cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I have nothing to say, really, because I know that as a person in Europe, it's going to take a couple of 100 years before we get anything. So, good for you guys. Good for you.
Heather's like, hello. I feel like Europe gets more stuff than Australia gets. There's a bigger chance
they'll come to Australia and then Europe. Thank you.
No, they will not come to Australia before Europe. Look at everything that happens with K-pop. In
K-pop, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But Norway.
Well, that's
We've Norway. Never hosted a K-pop artist in Norway. Like, it literally, no one comes here. Okay,
can you imagine Norway versus the whole of Europe?
Yes, yeah, Norway.
No, Australia is your country. Norway is my country.
Yes, yeah, yeah, we're just talking like, Norway.
Do you want to fight me?
No, I'm saying if we're just talking Norway, I agree. It's different than Europe. I feel like I'll come to Australia before Norway. Yeah. But like, yeah, I was like, the whole of Europe compared to the whole of Australia? Me and Pixie are just going to be crying the entire time.
Yeah.
We can bond over the fact that, like,
same. I'm not going to any of these.
Yeah. Just going to fly across the country on a whim. See, that's the thing is, like, you know, places like Europe, it's easier to travel for fan meets, but, like, flying from the East Coast to LA, like, that's a couple hundred dollars, almost $1,000. Like, it's not feasible. And so, like, because America is so huge, like, it's not even accessible for everyone on the West Coast, honestly.
I would argue that just prices for flying in America is insane, and that's
probably
not because prices should be insane compared to, like, the prices we have in Norway for flying. American prices are super high, and Norway is an expensive country. So I don't get it.
Well, hopefully they
capitalistic country.
We don't need to turn it into society. Rage on America. Yeah. We do that often enough.
Just in general. I feel like if this goes well, then there's definitely going to be more.
Yeah.
Like, more of these. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so when you mentioned the size of the venue, I'm thinking they're hedging their bets. They're testing being really the waters. They're being really cautious, and it's potentially they're also maybe doing it as a way to kind of like sell it out and show the want and the appetite is there, so they can maybe do either a second night and then justify future concerts, events in other countries or even that same country itself. But which I think is a very smart thing to do, to be honest. Yeah, like,
definitely.
Obviously, don't have a ridiculously tiny venue that no one can go to, but have a moderately sized venue that is a little bit smaller than they potentially think they need, so they 100% have it filled and show the appetite.
No, it's interesting because I know that Wabi Sabi was just doing fan meets in Brazil as well, like Boon, Santa, and Earth were just there for like some kind of fan meet, I guess, and I know also the what's the strawberry one? Choco Milkshake Cast is doing like a tour in Brazil. So I mean, it's really cool to see them breaking into the South American market, and I guess like there must be a lot of BL fans making noise in Brazil, which I'm sure we've seen across like platforms and stuff like that.
I was going to say, we've seen a rise in the Latin American BL fans 100%. All through social. And then even JoJo and Nunu were talking about like how popular OnlyFriends is in Latin America. So it makes sense that that is the next market that they will be tapping into, the next market of BL fans.
I mean, follow the money.
And I think I was telling Alexa this, but I think that even if they do fan meets in the US and people aren't like fans of the person, I think they would go anyway because it's a BL event. Kind of like what people will do with K-pop if they go to like the Midwest. Like everyone will just go even if they don't really know them or they're not a fan. So I mean, I think it will do well either way.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and like if like a pairing or a show cast came to like New York or DC, somewhere that like is reasonably accessible for me to get to, even if it's not someone I was super into, I would consider going just for the experience, like, you know, and that's to say into what Kayla was saying, like, especially because there have been so many attempts to have these fan meets in other places and these conventions over the past couple years, and they've not gone well. So to see them, you know, seemingly going well, and fingers crossed if they do, you know, play out well and the events go off without a hitch, like, I think it'll also bring more trust into like the production companies and the management into working with these outside event planners to make more. So
I do feel like a lot of the conventions and stuff that has been going on and failing, they've been too ambitious to begin with. They need to start easy, like the BL con that was in Texas, was like happened. At least that seemed like it went good, and they had like Zoom calls with some actors, and that seemed like it was fun. Like, you need to start at a realistic level and then build it up, right?
I feel like what they're doing for First and Kaotang is realistic. And I'm like, I trust in GMMTV that they know they know how to do an event. They know how to do all of this. They would have done all of their checks. They would have all their contracts signed before the boys even step foot in Bangkok airport. Like, they're not getting on a plane until shit's been signed and money's been paid. So,
I was looking at the event planner that's doing the Xena new one as well, and they've done like multiple others with like hosting fan meets in Bangkok for like Korean artists and like actors and stuff, like Korean actors and stuff like that. So at least for these two, I think there's a lot of trust in them, and partially probably because the companies are bigger and the artists are bigger, and they have like the team that can like put the time into doing all the checks and making sure everything checks out, and that, you know, they have all like the legal backing as well that some of these smaller like people who are managed individually don't necessarily have as well. So the Xena new one was interesting because I feel like they really pulled a K-pop concert with like, they announced and then they were like, tickets are going on sale in like 5 days and the event is next month. So like, it was very much,
so you better
like,
have money.
Literally. It was like, a very quick turnaround.
I was gonna say, at least with K-pop concerts now, you kind of expect it in the K-pop,
you know, like
fandom, you know it's gonna happen so like so quickly, so you just figure it out. But no one would have expected a fucking BL event just like dropping
and like you got 5-6 days to figure out your funds and
I hope you get your paycheck this week, like
and the the ticket prices for the fan meet are so good, like they're in my opinion,
it's
they're
really
super
reasonably
cheap.
Priced for like the
like
I'm used to stuff.
It's like the highest is like 250 something for the one where you get like a photo with them and like all of this other stuff. And I'm like, I'm used to spending like over $1,000 on K-pop concerts. So 250.
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting mad thinking about it. That's my thing that I'm heated over.
Oh, no. Yeah,
we'll just keep manifesting an East Coast date next and we'll make it work.
Well, if it goes really well.
Yeah.
There like surely there's a chance that they'll be like, we're in America, like maybe we'll just pop over to the other side. Or yeah. Well, it's like what, West Coast, East Coast? It's like the other side of America. Yeah. Or maybe they'll be like, that went really well, let's come back next year and do more than one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Might.
Surely.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fuck LA. That's why they're on an earthquake fault line.
The bitterness.
It makes me so mad.
It's because it's the Nindu. Like, if it was any other pairing, Kayla would be like, oh, I'm so happy for you guys. Yes. But because it's the Nindu, they're like, fuck you guys.
Oh, I love that. Petty Kayla comes out when it's the Nindu. We all have that couple. Yeah. But yeah, did you want to talk more about the Xenia new concert, Alexa?
I don't know. I kind of feel like we discussed most of the points. It's a fan meet that I was kind of thinking about within talking about First and Cowtongue as well. So they kind of go really well together. It's like one point between the two, basically. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it'll go. I know the girls at BL and Chill Media are going, and a couple of other like content creators I've seen out on the West Coast, I think, got tickets. So just be watching everyone's stories and seeing how it goes. Yeah.
I will not so subtly stalk everyone who's going and live vicariously through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What topic did we want to cover next? I think we need to save one of the happy ones for the end. Who wants to be a happy save?
I guess me and Kayla have the happy ones and you guys have the like
annoying ones.
To jump into Pixies then now.
Yeah, why not? Fine. Okay, do you want to see the clip first?
Set the scene, Pixie. Okay. Do you know who the TikTokers are who are in the...
Yeah, so...
It's like a big, like,
it's
mainstream...
It's a podcast, so yeah, it's, podcast. The podcast is Closet Talk. And it's just, like, a clip from that. Okay. I'm not sure if both of them are hosts. But either way, they are talking about gay shows, right?
From their Western point of view.
Yes, but it's they're talking about Western, like red, white, and royal blue. Do you want me to play you the clip so like they can explain it better than me?
Roll the clip.
For what? He's not getting realized.
Stop casting straight people as queer characters, you pieces of.
Were they both straight in red, white versus royal blue? Have you seen that one?
I've never seen that before in my life.
I thought we stopped doing that at Blaine after Glee.
Right. That's what the thing is. Like they gear it towards straight women, not like the queer community at all.
I think it's also odd because like I've had this conversation about Love, Simon and how that gay movie was geared towards straight people in general.
Yeah.
It was like this beautiful like. Maybe like a little bit high school bullying like moment, but then he comes out, his whole family loves him, his whole family's accepting, and then he finds a boyfriend and then he falls in love and it's every queer story you want to witness ever. But most queer people are sad as shit and we constantly get our heart broken. Like that's so not true.
And most of us like don't ever find someone until we're way older and you want to know why? Because we're too scared to come out because of bitches like you killing us.
Yeah, with swords on a football field.
Precisely.
I saw someone... I don't think it was someone we were following, but it came up on the feed because of Twitter's stupid algorithm now, talking about the Love, Simon part that they were talking about, how, like, gay people in real life are depressed and having happy queer movies is targeting it towards straight women.
Straight people, yeah.
It's very much like a Western, and I think I saw the clip, they're both white, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So I feel like it's a very white Western perspective, and I like that says all that you really need to say.
It sounds to me that they have potentially heard some rhetoric, old rhetoric around Yowie and what you, and then what the West has picked up from Yowie. And some of the arguments around that, and then potentially applied those arguments to these newer Western queer stories.
Yeah, I honestly think it has something to do with that they see a lot of women enjoying it, and I think they automatically assume the women are straight, because that's a really, like... It's just for straight women. Saying that is very, like...
So, yeah, that's why I think that they've potentially seen some of the older arguments around Yowie is bad. And then they're just applying that thinking, like, that lens to these stories without taking into consideration the entire context of Asian queer media, BL, GL... everything that's going on in Asia, and then how that is starting to influence some of the queer Western media. And like, I think potentially they may also be saying some of this stuff for like virality, the shock value, that type of stuff. Just
the
from
way
what
it's
I've
expressed
seen of
is
those
very much, yeah,
creators. This isn't to like take away from lived experience, but like I feel like the argument that queer media must always 100% reflect true to life stories think is a little I don't agree with. Think that, and this is also why I think we all love BL, we all love GL, is that slash queer Asian media is that there are some stories that show the trauma. There are some stories that show the struggle and the true to life. But the vast majority of it shows the stories that we want to see as queer people, the happiness, the romance, the some worlds without homophobia. Like, as someone, or as a, and I'm speaking in massive generalities, like sweeping generalities right now, as queer, as a group that has been oppressed is a very strong word, that's not the word I want to use, but as
marginalized as a group
that's been marginalized for so long, you don't want to constantly be reminded every single day that you are different, that you are you should be
you
going
get the
through
bad
a
ending.
Traumatic experience, you should have the bad ending.
Yeah, I mean, that is rom-coms fucked. And romance in general on screen, in general, do not reflect straight romance
reality.
Like, dude, we watch these shows and stuff to escape, to get out of real life. If I want to, like, experience stuff, I can go out and experience it in real life. Like, there's enough true stories out there that you can experience and listen to and read about and stuff like that. Like, let us have this one piece of escapism.
Agreed.
It's taking me back to the Kit Connor situation, because that's the whole reason that he was forced to come out, is because he was being dogpiled by the same argument that straight people shouldn't be playing queer roles. And I think it's a very black and white take to have on a very nuanced discussion, because there's a lot to be said about queer representation and queer actors and pursuing actors not getting the same level of opportunities. But and I think this kind of goes back to what Heather was saying about some of it, the way it's being presented for a virality aspect, but it is very much like a very black and white and aggressive take on a situation that requires a lot more discussion, and maybe they did have more throughout the rest of the episode, we don't know, but like that one clip is
to put that clip out. It wasn't clipped for them, they put that out themselves. So, and I think that that mindset, like that, how they talk, that's dangerous, and that's how we ended up with the situation with Kit Connor. Like, even if you're just gonna do it for clout or whatever, it's so hurtful for the community and everything. Like, you should know better.
I think, like, I think it's fair to be to have a strong opinion and voice a strong opinion, especially around representation. I think it's very fair, and we don't want to police the way that people speak about wanting and needing representation. I just do think you need to be mindful of, like we've all said, you need to be mindful of the of what can happen, the consequences of your words. You just need to be mindful of the consequences of your words, and I guess also maybe look outside of your one narrow view before putting some very strong opinions out on the internet. Maybe do some research, maybe look into things and talk to experts of certain topics, and or even if you want to just kind of talk amongst your friends like we do, preface the conversation by saying these are 100% our opinions on one thing that we've only looked at. We haven't looked further, and we're just going to talk about it, and maybe not present it in the way that they presented
you presented open for discussion and open for like having other opinions being put into the mix. Like they put it, it was very, this is how it is, like piece of shit, like it was very aggressive, very like final, and very not open at all to any input on it.
One thing I do want to say that I really really hate is when people expect other people to tell them everything about themselves just because they are in the public eye, any version of the public eye, and that sexuality is like a thing that people feel that they have a right to know. And I think that people who take on queer roles, half the time they're not expecting to be considered advocates. They're just taking on an acting role, whether they are queer or not, and they want to maybe be they want to be an ally, or they are queer and they want to show this story, but they don't want to be the advocate of bi people, the advocate of queer people, like, or the representative. And so I think that then yelling on the internet that every single person who takes on a queer character must prove their queerness is, I don't know how to say this nicely. It's just fucked. Like, that is not, like,
No one needs to prove for their queerness or straightness. And like, we love representation. But you're not owed anything. You're not owed someone's.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You're not owed anything. And also, I feel like even in a realm like Western LGBTQ plus media or BL, not everything is made for you, and you just have to get over it.
That's true.
Like, honestly, like, if you want to watch the happy-go-lucky type stuff and that's your thing, then that's good, and everyone should respect it. And if you want to watch the sad stuff that's more realistic, then you should watch it, and everyone should respect it. And it's just like, there's such a catalog across the board of different media that involves queer characters and mm-hmm. stories. And going back to like the whole Western thing, it's just so Western to be mm-hmm. looking at it from this mm-hmm. perspective of kind of like straight people infiltrating mm-hmm. gay media in a way. Yeah. I feel like that's mm-hmm. what they think it's like. And to an extent, like I kind of get it because mm-hmm. there is this whole, I don't know if it's like a joke or whatever, but there is like the joke of media that is technically gay, but is made for straight people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like call me by your name. A lot of people say that that's one. A lot of people say that Love, Simon is one, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say like,
even so,
if you don't, I don't know how else to say it. Like if like you Dr. don't relate to it, someone else will.
Yeah. Dr. Butnett, he said that he thinks of it as sort of like a gateway to normalizing gay relationships and interactions and portraying queer people as humans and not as something abnormal. Like it's weird, right?
It's kind of like othering yourself on purpose. Mm-hmm. Instead of like wanting to be represented, it's like you want to be alienated.
And that's
the part that is kind of annoying to me.
It's sort of like the us versus them kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like
I had that phrase in my head earlier. Mm-hmm.
And what really gets me too is in the clip he says, because they're talking about Red, White, and Royal Blue, and he says he's never watched it. And he doesn't know who the main actors are.
So why are you assuming their sexuality as well?
He's still putting out this opinion. And I was
I also think that like, go ahead, Heather.
Oh no, I was just going to say that frustrates me to no end is when people are talking about this stuff like they are experts on it, but they've never seen it. They've never done the research on it. They don't have any... this is going to sound very mean. They don't have an original thought. They're just yelling back into the stratosphere the thing that has been echoing. Like they are not voicing an original thought. They're just parrots and they're doing it for virality.
Yes.
And I also think when you're just focusing on like with Red, White, and Royal Blue, they're specifically talking about, the actors. What about the people behind the scenes? Because mm-hmm. the author of Red, White, and Royal Blue is non-binary. Mm-hmm. The director of the movie is a gay man. So like, even if we don't know what the actors are, I don't know if either Nick Gallatstein or Taylor Zakhar Perez, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing their names correctly. I'm probably not, but I don't know if either of them have stated their sexualities publicly. It doesn't really matter, but there is representation in the production in other forms. So if that's what you're looking for, then it kind of says to me that you're once again not looking beyond surface level and not doing the research to be able to, I don't know, make a generalization about the topic in that way.
Don't we want gay romance to get to a point where the straight romance is that it's just normal for everyone to watch? Like, mm-hmm. isn't that like the end goal of all of this?
Yeah.
Just
you would think, but sometimes I think that's not what people want.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it goes back to like they want to be the other because and I think part of it is because the community was marginalized for so long, like they found identity in the otherness and like they kind of have found a home there. So there's like teetering this line between wanting the representation and the normalization, but also not wanting to, I guess, like the sense of community that comes with being an other. So I think it kind of teeters that line a little bit and it goes back to what makes it a very nuanced discussion. It's a lot.
So that was my thing.
See, getting us into the serious discussions for our first episode back.
I'm good at that. Yeah. Okay.
do we?
Okay. Yeah, do you want to go right into the next serious one? Because yeah, we're like fired up. So we might as well.
Let's go. Oh,
Heather's ready.
I'm ready. I have a whole like little notes app thing going on called What Happened to Neo? Mm-hmm. So yeah, my topic is around what happened to Neo earlier this year, and literally everything around it. So basically, if you don't know, Neo posted a Ed Sheeran cover, a cover of Photograph by Ed Sheeran on his Instagram earlier in the year. I think it was around June, but I'm not 100% sure exactly when. I just know it was earlier in the year. And since posting that cover, he has been subjected to so much online bullying. Now, for a good month, so I was going through tweets, I was going through TikToks, I was scouring the internet to figure out kind of like when it started and stopped. It hasn't stopped, by the way. But it was really strong for about a month after he posted this cover. And for a good month, fans, and I put fans in quotation marks because they are not fans, mocked his cover. They made comments about his accent and singing ability. They made videos and memes. A lot of the things that were posted on TikTok were remixes of his cover. Covers, again, I put in quotation marks because they're not covers, of his cover that made fun of his accent. Like actually singing the song in the accent that, like his natural accent. All videos that had English subtitles that also mocked his accent. So writing out the words phonetically in the way that he said it. This happened for like a good month. Coming off the back of that, there was also merch, again in quotation marks, because it's not fucking merchandise, that was created of the way he pronounced the English lyrics. So people were selling racist shit as BL merch. It got so bad that Neo deleted / archived the cover. And I'm not sure if he archived any other covers, but there are literally no recent covers on his IG at all. Every single video that I could find on his IG is from at least a year. Anything singing is at least a year old, if not more. Wow. I cannot find any recent covers of anything on his Instagram. And there are also tweets that that I found that talk about him saying that he doesn't want to sing live covers on social anymore. I haven't been able to fact check that. I haven't been able to find him saying that. But I saw a tweet that said he said that, but I can't find the actual video.
I saw his tweet. Yeah.
Okay.
But he might have deleted it or.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe I just missed it. But yeah, so there's something saying like, yeah, he doesn't want to sing live covers anymore on social. He doesn't want to post anything about that on social anymore because of this bullying. Which is absolutely fucked. So before we kind of talk further into it and I show a couple of things, I'll play the video for you guys. I hope this is, I don't actually know where the microphone is, so I'm going to turn this really up and hopefully you can hear it.
We keep this love in for the club. We made a memory for ourselves. When I have never crossing, heart and never broken. Answer for enforcing is a deal. So you can keep me. It's all you pocket or your emptying. Holding me close to you, you, I mean, you're every.
Yeah, so that's the cover that everyone is mocking.
That's insane to me that they're mocking that.
I personally don't think it's that bad at all.
No.
Like, the only thing I would say is you missed a string while you were strumming. That happens. But, like,
yeah.
Even the singing ability, fine.
Bad.
I mean,
like,
even
it doesn't excuse the behavior.
Listen,
that,
no. even if it was bad, it does not excuse mocking him and bullying him in any way. No. Even if they're celebrities or famous, like, it doesn't matter. You don't treat people like that.
No.
I think we as a BL fandom and like as a community have taken the whole don't let BL boys pick up guitars, like, joke that, like, it came
from characters in shows.
Mm-hmm.
Not
and
real
now
people
we're
showing
applying
their
it to real people. Yeah. And what started as, like, you cringe when a guitar scene comes on in a BL has turned into mocking someone who is putting themselves out there on the internet and is a real person and not a character in a BL. So, like, I think it's just gone too far. And when I saw a TikTok of the cover, and that was a lot of the shit I was seeing in the comments, like, put down the guitar type shit.
This shit? Not on. So this was one of the covers. I'm not going to play it, but this is one of the covers that has, like, it's got 237.9K likes. It's got, millions of views. It's
fucking...
literally this person,
people are trash,
singing in Neo's accent,
mocking
his accent, singing and mocking his accent.
Dude, how
with
dare
like,
you like sit there and mock someone with your full face?
It's because
the audacity.
That it's wrong.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wrong. They don't think it's wrong.
There's another one as well. Like, it's not just one person as well. There were multiple videos of that. Multiple videos... mocking, look at that, like, even the filter that was put on Neo's face, the words that were used, like, it's racist.
It's
so racist. It is, and people are gleefully banding together in this racist bullying, like,
yeah, it's so fucked up.
Like, the tweets that were coming out of it, even this, like, remix version, Thank Me Later, when Neo's singing Photograph with his Thai accent, laughing and mocking.
Yeah.
How are they not ashamed of themselves doing stuff like that?
Like,
what is...
I am speechless that people who consider themselves fans of these actors are then like the bullying this person for putting something out on the internet and like bullying this person for the way they speak a language that's not their first language. That is like, the definition of racism.
Like, how often do we have these actors trying to actually learn the language and doing their best and then get mocked for it? Like, people keep like bothering them to like speak in English English every fucking live they do. And when they finally like they do make an effort to learn, and they're start mocking them. I'm just, what even? And it's not like he's the first one I've heard that had an accent singing in English. Like, I've seen plenty of covers from Bright, and he does have an accent too when he sings. Not as heavy, but still, it's there. And I mean, why does it matter?
Like, why? Okay, this is something that really angers me, and it's not just in the BL community, it's just in general. Why do people think that when someone speaks English, they must speak in the accent that you are most comfortable with, or that you think that they should speak in? That they must speak in an American accent, that they must speak in a British accent. Why can't people just speak a language however they speak it, to the point where you can understand them? That should be it. That should be full stop it. If someone can communicate with you, they can communicate with you. Why are you mocking the way that they speak? Think about that. Think about why you are mocking the way this person speaks. And what that says about you as a person. Insane.
Like, my English it's not impressive at all. I've had English since I was in like the second grade. It's just part of like growing up. Like, it's not something anyone should be impressed with, because I haven't put effort into it. But these boys are putting so much effort, and they care. Like, they care enough to make these covers and do them in English, because they know they have a fan base that would prefer to have stuff in English. And it should be, like, it should be celebrated. Like, honestly, like, he should have gotten so much hype for doing
that. And love and encouragement. And he didn't. And it resulted in him deleting this really cool thing that he did off the internet and saying he's never going to do it again. Are you fucking kidding me?
Let me see all of these people start doing some covers in Thai. Like, you know, let's flip the switch. Let's see how your Thai pronunciation is, because I'm sure you would have an accent the exact same way he did. And if someone said some shit about it to you, you would make an issue of it.
Most of these people probably do have an English accent.
That's what I was thinking. Like, most of them probably also don't speak. A lot of them might not speak English as their primary language as well. Like,
It's
Seeing what I assume are other Asian people make fun of Asian accents is really gross, considering that that is something that a lot of mostly white people will do, is put on the Asian accent to be mocking. And then it's like this whole thing where that form of racism goes along with like people like holding back their eyes to like look squinty, or like, what else, I don't know, just like pushing a lot of stereotypes. And we just have a lot of really sad
songs that
to see other Asian people
mocking how Asian languages sound. So it's super disgusting.
It's like perpetuating a problem instead of trying to solve it or turn against it. It's like, it's almost like they might have experienced that kind of racism before, so they're like trying to make a joke out of it, but it's not
poor taste,
to say the least.
It's like turning it around on the someone who's been through a lot of similar experiences you have. And yeah. I'm just like, are we not a community? Are we not living in the same...
Oh, no.
Same forms of... Like, you would think there would be more community there. I don't know. But
I feel like they missed the point of, like, the 10,000 BLs we've watched. Like, every the message of every BL out there. They completely missed the point.
And this mob mentality as well is something that really just gets under my skin. And it kind of goes hand in hand with... certain community goes hand in hand in with certain fandom jokes is that people just jump on shit to just be a part of it, and they do not think past let's just be a part of this thing and jump on this thing to be viral, to be part of the fandom, to be part of this like inside joke. And they, and it's this like mob mentality of if we're all a part of it, it's okay. It is just a joke. And racism is not just a joke. And that is something that has been used in Australia. And it irks me so much to kind of laugh away racism at times. Like, oh, you can't take a joke. It's just a joke. It's not just a fucking joke.
In all cases, but in Neo's case, it feels very dehumanizing. Like, maybe it's like some parasocial thing going on where they don't really see him as a real person. They see him as a character. So yeah, just very dehumanizing.
And like, not to sound like a bit of a boomer, but I think the idea of going viral has just fucked so many people's like the way they treat people, especially online. They think they can get away with so much. And it goes back to what we were saying about the previous topic about saying things a certain way because you want it to go viral, and you know that saying things that are controversial or would be considered in bad taste in any other environment, you can get away with it on the internet and you'll get a million likes for it. And the views that you were mentioning on those videos, like, it's just like, I love TikTok as much as the next person. I have a great time on there. But like, some of the ways it's influenced the way we interact with people online, and especially with celebrities online, is just like, it's really fucked.
I'm surprised that these videos aren't getting taken down, because TikTok is really heavy on
the bullying thing. They don't care when it's a minority. They don't care when it's a minority.
Only if it's women calling out men for misogyny, then they take them down. Fucking hell.
It's, so, I would like to encourage everyone to send Neo love and also move forward in the fandom coming from a place of encouragement and love,
and don't engage critically with trash.
Don't engage
Like,
and even so, like, even if you're angry, you shouldn't be engaging at all, because engagement lets them reach an audience that will support it. No engagement, scroll on.
Scroll. I was gonna say we're technically engaging right now, but like the actual with the
content.
We're not linking it. Don't engage. Not. Talking directly to them.
I'm gonna have to fix my TikTok algorithm now, because all of that research is gonna put this shit on my feed.
It's a whole bunch of not interested.
Yeah, not interested.
If it works,
report bullying. Like, fucking hell. It's all right. I got a good afternoon. I'll sit down and just fix my algorithm again.
That's all.
Okay, back to happy stuff.
How do you even segue from that?
I told you we would whiplash.
That's fine. I feel like we need to finish on happier notes, because
it was a heavy middle section.
Like, my chest is starting to get red, because I'm just so heated about this.
I was trying to monitor. I was like, is Heather getting overworked?
Yeah, the level of red.
It's justified. Like, actually is justified. So, it's fine.
All right, well, we want to finish out with OnlyFriends, and then I can talk about mine, and then we can finish out with
Yeah, let's go Red P, Fowl, and then go Only Friends.
So Red P, Fowl, I feel like it started off and it was on everyone's radar because who was the first cast they announced? Was it Long Lee?
And Frank, yeah.
And Frank. I like have the Instagram up here. Long Lee, Frank, Boone, Mech, Max, Kuhart. Like that was, it was like that TikTok sound that bang, I used. Bang, was like bang, another bang. One. Thank you. Yes. Another one. Yes. Thank you.
Another one. Thank you. Another one. Thank you.
They just like, it was so and it was like bad. Every day at 9 o'clock, they would just announce another name and it would be like this like big ticket BL boy. And the hype around it was so high. Like it became a thing. Mm-hmm. Like who are they going to announce next? Who are you like manifesting for the next like Red P-File cast announcement?
Yeah.
And then that was like the first 6, 7, they got to Yacht. They got Ben in there. and then after that, like they kind of started going into the newer faces and, you know, obviously newer faces aren't going to bring in as much interaction as the faces that everyone recognizes, but I just think the way that the I don't want to say excitement has dropped off completely. But I was talking about this in our in our Discord server about like the way they chose to market it and like dogpiling all the big name BL boys that people recognize on the front and then kind of like going into your newer actors, and they haven't even announced the lead characters yet, so and like you can tell that they were kind of like wanting to get interest off of announcing the bigger names first, and then going from there. And a lot of people have said like, well, I'm worried that all these names they announced that we recognize are just going to end up being like cameos or something that only pop up in one episode.
Probably. If you read the descriptions of their characters, there is a very high chance that
they're just like just very like small roles. And I don't know how to feel about like using, I mean, they're obviously like people's status is a form of promotion, but I just feel like the way they marketed it is feeling like very weird to me. And it's just been interesting to watch it. Like, I think they've started announcing like the main cast, and as of yesterday,
people we don't know at all.
Yeah, so
we got one woman.
One woman. To be honest, I am worried for her because there's literally like 25 men and her. Like, this is bigger than the Kim Porsche cast. Like, it's too many men and one woman. Like, girl, get yourself out of there, please.
Yeah. You are in danger. You need to get out.
Oh my god. But yeah, it's just been really, I don't know, watching the I guess their marketing strategy for this show has been really interesting to see how it's played out. And I'm feeling like now that they've kind of gotten past announcing the names that people recognize, it's not really going the way that they want it to in terms of marketing, which has been interesting to see.
They spent all their budget on getting in these small cameos, and the real show will be like really bad quality because of it.
You know how it reminds me of how, you know, those Hollywood movies where they have all these big name actors and then the movie is shitty? That's what it reminds me of.
The ones that would be like the ensemble cast of like 15 people, and it would be like the weird,
it's the shittiest show ever. Don't have high hopes for this show, honestly. Like, I think it's weird how they announced it, and I think it was like they've taken so many, like one person from a known ship and put them in there just to get the most ships they can in it without the partner for the person. It's weird. Okay, it's very
There's only one.
Long Lee and Frank are the ship. Only Long Lee and Frank. Ship. Boone, like, for a lot of them, I think you can write it off. Well, Boone and Prem, I think it's probably because Prem is not under Studio Wabi Sabi and they have different management. But like Max Toll is not acting anymore. Santa and Earth have kind of like, I don't really know what's going on there. They kind of still do stuff together, but after Santa went on Fantasy Boys, I think shipping kind of went to the back burner for him. You have like the guy who was paired with Bass in Gen Y, whose name I never remember. I think it's like Dune.
Dunn.
Thank you, Dunn. I can never remember how to pronounce it. Gun, everyone's Could favorite gun. Yacht is in there, which I'm really excited for. Yacht and Ben, like, it's just...
I'm super excited for Ben.
I was so excited when I saw Ben. I was like, way to go.
Yeah, I was super excited for Ben too. It was the one time I'm just like, oh yeah.
Mech's in there.
Mech's and Mac made Mech's and Mac. There we go. I was really excited about them, and like, you know, it's this kind of thing where like, I'm curious to see if there'll be like any real substance to their characters, but at the same time, I don't want to get my hopes up to be like, expecting more than a cameo and then not.
Do we get know what the story's about?
Like, I know it's the plot. I know it's like mafia and police officer is like the main.
I was trying to find. I was trying to find a synopsis, like a detailed synopsis for this show when the first couple of like characters dropped, and I could not find anything that made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like not it was just bits and pieces,
and And like,
so
let me Google.
I should have found it in our server, but I couldn't find it in all the scrolling back. Someone had shared a link to like one of the Thai websites that, or one of the websites that kind of like a World of BL type site that kind of aggregates all of the information in one place. I don't know if I use that word correctly. It wasn't World of BL, but it was a different one. And that's where I found the synopsis of it being like,
This is a bit better.
Is it?
Well, it's more just like, I'm going to butcher these names. I'm sorry in advance.
Yeah, I think
in advance I'll read it, but like
a lot of the names are of Chinese origin or Mandarin or Mandarin. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Liu Yipeng graduated from the Royal Hong Kong Police Cadet School with first class honors. He made many accomplishments in his first year in the service. Behind the mission that earned him his reputation, however, Liu Yipeng has something to hide. A psycho mafioso who calls himself Hong Kong Q-U-E, literally Red Peafowl, likes to ask for a look at the Red Peafowl scar on Yipeng's thigh, a gift from that one mission. He'd supplied him with a strange drug, forcing him into a physical relationship with the change in feelings it wrought. Sorry, shocked.
This was very non-con. That sounds
I did not think this was happening.
Yipeng
seethes and doesn't tell anyone. He doesn't know from where this karma comes, but Yipeng finds himself losing to Red Peafowl every time. He vows, however, to one day put the man behind bars. I was not expecting that. That is not what
this
I read.
This is like
before.
The non-con version of Trapped.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh,
it was like I'm always here for like the mafia and
I don't know
police
how I feel about
enemies
this.
To lovers, but then that you got into drugging and physical relationship forcing, and I was like,
A physical relationship.
We're checking out from that one.
Yeah, it sounds very yaoi, old school yaoi.
We'll see if they make any adaptations bringing it to screen.
Oh, here we go. Someone has put a comment about like. Let me read it. So this is kind of saying who each, I guess, person is kind of playing. A basic summary for the roles we have so far is Boone, Max, and Longley are mafia gang leaders. Frank is a police officer and best friend to the main lead. Kuhart is one of the brothers of a main lead, and he has a very tragic story that affects both male leads.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course.
Of course.
Gun will be the son of one of the mafia leaders. Dunn, Frank, Tong, and Junior are going to be police officers detectives. Yacht is an editor for a magazine. Mech is apparently a celebrity. Checks. Ben. Ben is a VIP businessman. Ooh. Rome is an architect and will be Earth's best friend. Deem is a nurse and mediator between the police and mafia, while Fam and Five are bodyguards for the mafia main character. There's also Dave as a Scottish Yard craft coordinator. Whatever that means. And then they said, I'll add more roles to this comment each day as more are announced.
Okay, this sounds like a train wreck. This sounds, I predict an absolute train wreck that we will be watching just because it will be such a horrid train wreck.
Oh, what is a Scottish Yard craft? What is that? Oh my god, I'm actually crying. What is that? Just,
oh my god, that's so funny.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh, apparently, if you want to kind of keep up with the cast, apparently majority of them are taking part in the Y Star Challenge on TV at the moment. Yeah. So.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. What the hell is a Scottish Yard craft coordinator?
Every time you say it, I laugh because what the fuck? That's.
Dude.
That's so funny.
Oh my god.
I need out. More
that
from
being
this,
the final yeah. one that was announced just took me out.
I need more from the promotion of this series to be invested. Yeah. Because
I think we need a teaser or a trailer or something.
A pilot, something to see what the vibes are gonna be.
Nothing to go off here.
Yeah.
But
also,
yeah, it
just
is
because like of the, so one, yes, they put out all the big names first. They should have peppered them in between everyone.
That's
yeah,
that was my thought.
But yeah, exactly. But two, of everyone who has been announced who is a big name, all they did was share the story. They have done nothing else.
There's no other promotion
to do with this promotion.
Yeah.
I also haven't really seen much from the, like, the newbies and their, involvement with promotion either. So
I'm betting that this is just like in the early, they've just chosen the cast. They've done nothing.
They haven't filmed anything.
They probably don't even have the script yet. Like it's probably like it's super duper early. And I think it's not a good idea. They should have waited because this is gonna take at least half a year before they even get started, and people are gonna
figuring out everyone's schedules. Like figuring out everyone's schedules to
so many of
film
them.
Is going to be a nightmare. Yeah. But I think potentially also they may have announced the big names first as a draw for sponsors.
Yeah, that might be it.
Grab
but
some
I mean,
sponsors
could have secretly
while
announced that to the sponsors.
Like, wouldn't it have made more sense as well to pepper them into these newbies?
Yeah.
Show that there is gaining momentum,
interest.
not dwindling momentum. Gaining interest, not dwindling interest, to entice these sponsors to actually take part in this series.
It sounds to me like they don't actually have a marketing team for this. Like, no one thought about this at all. They just like, okay, we need to show how many numbers we can get, so just put them all out there.
Yeah. Dogpile it all at the front.
Yeah.
And based on the character descriptions, it seems like a lot of the names we recognize are probably just going to be more in support, show up every once in a while roles. So unless like they come out and have like some big ass names as the leads somehow, I'm
I don't see at least two more women announced, I'm gonna fucking riot. Like,
it gives me flashbacks to the Boon Prem show,
Broccoli, the vampire one.
No,
Between Us,
not the zombie one. Well, not zombie, what was it?
Oh,
the one with, they were like, and they,
oh, the horror,
oh,
movie.
The horror one.
Yeah, the horror one. Yeah. Because they were constantly announcing Boon and Prem for this and showing the clips from their sex scene.
Yeah. And didn't they like die
that
immediately?
That clip was literally the only thing that was in that show. Like, it wasn't more than that. And they used them
they
so much.
They died.
Yeah. They were part of
what
the
a way to go,
today.
I guess.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
And they lied. They said that there were going to be like an extended clip of the sex scene, and there wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bothered by the fact that there wasn't. I'm bothered by the fact that they announced something and then don't do it.
It's I need more from them.
I'm skeptical at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see, like, I'm so excited to see Max on screen again. I know he's been doing a lot of, like, Lacorns and stuff, but, like, potentially seeing him in something that is accessible to an international audience is very exciting for me. But at the same time, like, if he's only going to be there for half for these an boys. Episode, like, am I really going to watch it?
I'll just watch it. I will try.
Yeah.
I will try.
I'm a little bit disappointed for the newbies as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's not fair to them.
Yeah, and if this is the way that the team is going to be promoting the series, does that mean that they're not going to put the time and effort behind the rookies and the newbies and support them and, like...
The rookies are going to get dragged in the mud if this isn't good. If they don't
because there's going to there's going to be really angry people who are fans of the big names. If the big names are only there for like people a split either way, second.
Even if it's good, like because they expect to see more of the whoever,
especially how they promote how they've dropped been promoting the sponsors. So I just need some more. I just need more. From the series, from the team, to
in general, it sounds be like invested.
I want to talk to them. I want to figure out what the hell they're doing and why they're doing it the way that they're doing it.
You should message your bestie.
Heather's work brain
them.
Is coming out. Bestie Mac.
Oh, I actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I did message him the other day, but that was a whole different thing.
Casual.
You ask him.
Flex,
like, he'll probably tell
flex.
You as well.
I don't think we're besties.
Oh, no.
I think we're besties, but we're not besties.
I have footage.
That's me and Peter.
I have proof.
That's me with Pan. I'm like, we're besties, but in reality.
What proof?
we have footage.
We have footage.
It's so fake.
Footage of Heather and Mech being besties? Question mark.
Dude, the whole like trip down to like getting the snack. You should have heard them. Like, only besties talk like that.
Only besties talk like that.
Valid.
Guess people will just have to tune in when the video comes out.
Thank you for feeding my Delilah. But no. Yeah, I'm so fascinated in their promotional plan, why they're doing what they're doing, at what point of production they're at, who has signed a contract, who hasn't signed a contract, who
will there
will
be a bunch of cast changes
and
actors dropping out?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, will it be like Kim Porsche all over again?
That's what I was thinking.
We can't go through that again.
Delayed.
Guys, and then... don't buy merch. Wait.
Oh my god, actually.
I'm telling you.
That reminds me, I just want to mention it real quick. I don't know. I'm just amused that Pit Babe the series has produced merch and is promoting merch before they're promoting an actual trailer. A proper pilot. Like they just have that tiny little trailer.
Thing.
But yeah, that teaser. But they're currently filming the series now, and they're already promoting merch, a shirt.
Yeah, that isn't like a good because I think like Kim Porsche started selling the merch because they had money problems, which.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's a way
so anyone producing merch before the show like is even done filming.
I think producing's fine, but promoting the merch and actually selling it before the series is even aired.
Yeah. It's not great.
Yeah.
Not a great sign.
We'll see.
But anyway, I just I just remember that just like clicked in my brain. I remembered seeing that and being amused by it and being like, ooh, what's that mean?
Okay, so, yeah. Should we run into the last story of the
Only Friends?
Kayla, this is what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, it's getting, starting to get a bit.
It's almost midnight, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, oh, by the way, I titled, like, all of my little sections. So this one is called The Only Fan Sign Ever. I don't know why I did that.
That's cute. Funny.
But it was announced today, mm-hmm. which is the 7th of October, that Only Friends, the book version, is going to be released on the 15th of this month. And they're going to start selling it at this fan sign event with Neo, Mark, and Lookjune. And so the fan sign is going to be taking place at this convention center. I don't know how to pronounce it. Queen Sirikit National Convention Center.
Yeah. I remember that from the train. Yeah.
Yeah. For anyone who's able to go, I totally would not be jealous of everyone seeing Mark. this is going to sound like I'm advertising it. Like I was paid to advertise, but you get a coupon.
Not
an advertisement.
Not sponsored.
You get a coupon if you spend 500 baht. Yeah. And I don't know what else to say about this other than that's a thing that's happening, and obviously everyone has been obsessed with Only Friends.
The
so
15th.
Yeah, the 15th
of this month.
Yeah, very
Damn.
Soon.
Vivian
so.
Has
so I guess
been,
they've been sitting on it,
writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, there hasn't been any news if there's going to be an English version. I know a lot of people were asking under the Twitter thread, but no news. So we'll have to wait for that. I'm personally hoping they make an English copy and also a physical one because, dude, I want it back on my shelf, like literally. But yeah, I'm hoping they will make, like, the show has a big following outside of Thailand. So maybe not.
Might be like a second run after they see how like the first set of copy sells, or maybe they're planning on releasing both from the jump. That would be really cool to see. Oh. But
Translating a novel from Thai to English takes time. Like it's literally so hard.
Unless it's being written properly in English at the same time.
But I don't think so. That would be
who's like, writing it? Vivian.
Vivian, yeah.
Acting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaks both English and Thai.
Yeah, but still. I don't.
Just throwing it out there.
I think it would be too much work. He's been complaining a lot about like how much time is used writing.
It's interesting
that pushed this out pretty fast.
I was gonna say it's interesting to me that the production of the book itself is turning around so quick if he's still like just been writing it up until recently, like how like how many edit, I mean maybe he's been working on it longer than we've seen it being talked about, because I'm thinking about like how many edits books usually go through and all that kind of stuff as well.
I mean, but he did have a script to begin with, so he have like the skeleton of the story, so he just needs to rewrite into a book format, so obviously that wouldn't take as long as writing a story from scratch.
That's true
But still, it's really impressive to do something in such a short time. It sounds kind of like it wasn't planned from the beginning, so they just saw the interest and pushed it out. But it's going to be interesting to see how it's received, because most of the BLs we are getting already have a book. And this will kind of be like
see
the
a book
books
come after
following
the
series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it turns out good, then we might see more of this, more original stories that are more current to the climate of today and not the climate of 10 years ago. But yeah, I think this is good. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm assuming it's going to be written in like third person, but I think it would be really cool to get to be inside all the characters' heads, like simultaneously, kind of like a point of view switch. That'd be so cool.
That's been like one of the theories of OnlyFriends with the point of views. And like a lot of people have come to say that like at the end of the episode, they always feature like one person staring longingly somewhere. Like a lot of people have come to believe like, okay, well, this episode was supposed to be in that person's point of view, or, but there's been a lot of speculation around it as well. So it'll be interesting if the novel is written in like specific point of views to kind of get that answer, or also if it'll show us like a little bit of a different perspective from what we've seen in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, even if it is written in third person, you can still do it like a third person POV type of thing. It's not like a first person POV. And I personally like when stories are written in third person and you still get that glimpse into their brain through that tense.
I mean, this is going to flesh out the story more. Yeah. Like all the unanswered questions will be more fleshed out and you'll see more of the reasoning of the characters. And yeah, it will be interesting.
And hopefully it's not like porn without plot. I need plot.
Yeah.
Ooh, is he gonna like write out the
descriptions
how
of
spicy
the,
is the spicy?
That's a good question.
It's not gonna be like pan to fishbowl. Is it really gonna like be
just end the chapter with pan to fishbowl?
Pan to fishbowl. Or just a little fishbowl, like little thing
and
at the bottom.
Marker, yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Chom, chom, chom. Oh my god.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll see, like, in a week.
Yeah.
When people start posting pictures of their copies and stuff. And by
and
the time this episode actually goes out on YouTube, I'm sure everyone else will have seen it as well.
I wonder if it is, like, well, high chance it's released in Thai. I wonder how quick the English, unofficial English translations are going to get up.
We'll get posted. Yeah.
Those are going to get like people Google Translate and then just put them on Wattpad.
Put it on like Wattpad or something.
I be never smart read those because you cannot trust Google Translate. You do not trust Google Translate.
No. It should be lesson number one. Do not trust Google Translate.
Mech's fight on Twitter.
You want to talk about Mech's fight?
It's cool. I'll just quickly mention it. People should just go check it out. Because he, so basically it's all around Lisa's performance at Crazy Horse in Paris, and the photos that came from that, and a person, a Japanese person, retweeting the photos and just using slang to basically say that they're like they're fucking amazing.
It's sick, basically. Yeah,
like they're sick. And
it got viewed as the other
Google Translate like basically makes it seem negative, and then a lot of Norwegian
it on them. Literally says this looks bad.
Like perverted sex type.
Yeah, and then a lot of like quite a few Thai people jumped on and started attacking this person, and Mech jumped in being like,
I saw his please
sorry,
apologizing
for men.
Basically apologizing, saying like people aren't realizing that that's slang. And then he then got attacked. There's this one sort of account that basically saying like you cannot speak on behalf of us, all this sort of stuff, and he's like, and then there's like a bit of a fight back and forth going on between them on Twitter at the moment.
Why the fuck would they attack him?
Max Twitter is just like a whole other world.
Literally.
Seriously. Dude,
I love that he's
it's like,
not afraid to confront
It's like one day he's answering like ask me anythings about like all types of topics.
What type of what type of day you like to have sex, mate? That is not a Twitter thing.
He needs to do like that. This is kind of off topic, but my TikTok algorithm has been showing me a bunch of Paul Wesley's like subscription to his only like his close friend story on Instagram, and he just like, mm-hmm. you have to pay to subscribe, but he just like answers a bunch of people's random ass questions there. And he's like one of those people who's like so out of touch with like online happenings that everything he answers to is really funny. And I'm like, Mech needs to do something like that. Like, make the people pay for this kind of content.
Yeah, make the people pay for that content.
It's gold. Make them
pay. Yeah. Oh
my God. But
you should.
That's our business advice to Mech.
You should tell your bestie this advice.
Just send him the clip when the episode comes
out. I'll clip this and I'll send this to him.
You know those funny, like, inspirational quotes? That's how I feel reading his tweets. I'm like,
the Delulu is a Salulu.
Oh my God, that was the best.
I'm like, he's like Buddha. He's so wise.
In Mech we trust.
Yes.
Yep, in Mech we trust. Oh my God.
Our favorite flat earther.
He's
a quality guy. He's a quality guy. Yeah.
I feel like that was a positive, having a little
hee-hee about Mech.
A little hee-hee-ha-ha.
Okay, Heather, outro.
Oh, Jesus! I don't have anything else. Okay, let me see if I can remember
off the top of your head.
You've seen us do this a thousand times.
Mate, nothing is retained in here. It's just like fucking tumbleweeds.
I get that.
Okay, and that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming along this catch up on what's going on in the BL community. I know we've missed a lot of stuff, so if there's anything that we've missed, pop them down in the comments and let us know. And if you want to comment on some of the stuff that we were talking about, please pop that down in the comments as well, or add us on socials. We want to keep talking about this stuff. We want to stay engaged. And we're also just nosy. So, like, please be nosy with us.
Give us the tea.
All right. So if you liked this episode, please comment, like, and subscribe. Please share this with all of your friends, because that helps us out, that helps out the algorithm. We like to see ourselves on your feed, so please share, please retweet, please at, please everything. I'm gonna stop saying please, because now I'm just begging. Don't forget that we also have a Patreon. I'm just going to do a quick little Patreon plug. So we're doing lots of bits and pieces. We changed our tiers. We've added more content. We're doing some reactions. We've got Pixie doing Only Friends reactions. We've got Kayla doing Naughty Babe reactions. We've got Alexa potentially doing Last Twilight reactions coming up.
It's going to make me cry.
I have no idea what I'm going to contribute. So stay tuned for whatever that looks like. So that is all I can think of. I actually literally do not know the last line of our outro. Does anyone remember?
And we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Thank you for saving me.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my God. I need a script, because
yeah, no
shit.
It's
hard without a script.
It is
hard without a script.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.